preach on a subject I've never preached on before, on the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel 37. All right, look with me in chapter 37. We're going to preach out of the first 10 verses here. The Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus said the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy as I was commanded. Ezekiel said that. That's a good thing, too. Always do what God tells you to. He said, So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, thou son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. I want to preach this morning on this thought on what it takes to raise the dead. Man, I'm talking about the spiritual dead now. I don't believe you can raise the physically dead. If you did, I got a few I'd like to go around and get out of the grave. Amen. And then I got a few I'd like for to stay where they're at. Amen. But I'm talking about spiritually, and we're going to make a spiritual application here, but this is actually talking, if you'll turn over with me to verse 11 or 12, it tells you, the Bible's self-descriptive. It says something, and it'll tell you the meaning of it. You don't need a commentator to tell you. Look in verse 11 and 12 there. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Now, this is when Israel was taken to the Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar took them captive, and it was a punishment of God upon the nation of Israel for turning from him into idols and Baal worship and stuff like that. So this is what he's talking about. Ezekiel was a prophet during that captivity. He was one of the prophets. There were several of them, but he was one of them. And where he got this vision was in Babylon, when he was down by the brook there. And verse 12 says, Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So what God is telling them there, he's giving Ezekiel the message to tell them that he will raise them up, he will restore them. What's amazing about that captivity when they was free to come back to Israel, only about 50,000 Jews came back. The rest of them stayed up there. Amen. Only about 50,000 came back and reestablished themselves in Israel. But I want to make a spiritual application this morning and want to apply it to a church or a nation or an individual. Amen. It'll work in all three different aspects of our life. It'll work in them. And I want to apply it that way and just preach on that thought on how to raise the dead. Now, that's a catchy little subject, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are thinking I'm a charismatic or a healer or a... There's nobody that can raise the dead except Jesus Christ. Man, nobody can stay dead around the Lord. Every funeral he got involved in, he messed it up so that people would come back to life. Man, so if you don't... Please don't believe that. Nobody can raise the dead. Amen. Jesus Christ can't. But look, if you would, with me in verse 1 and 2. You say, The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. The first thing you got to have in order to raise the dead, you got to have a servant that is submissive. Amen? Now he got Ezekiel here, but not only did he get Ezekiel, not only was he controlling Ezekiel, but Ezekiel was submissive to what God had told him to do. God is sovereign in his will. Amen. He had chosen to do most of his work on earth through men, which God didn't have to do that. God did not have to use a man to bring this illustration to Israel. Amen. God did not have to use a man to plant this church. God did not have to use a man to send to China. God did not have to use a man and a woman to bring in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God chooses, about 99% of what he does, he chooses to do it through man and by man. Amen. That's a blessing right there. But you gotta have a servant. You gotta have someone willing to do what God tells them to do. Amen. And that's today, I think, and I've always said this, the problem's in the pulpit, not in the pews in our churches today. It ain't in the pew, it's in the pulpit. The pulpit's a problem. Amen. Very few servants today are willing to submit to the things of God and the ways of God and the teachings of God, but they choose to do it their way and man's way. But you see there, that man must be called. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Then that man must be spirit controlled and carried me out in the spirit. That man must have a vision, you'll find there. And he sent me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Amen? Three things about a servant when he's submitted. He has to be called, he has to be spirit controlled, and he has to have a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. What's happening in America today? The people are perishing. Amen? Why? People have lost their vision. They've lost the ability to think that God can do mighty things, which I still believe he can. I think he's hunting a servant to do it with. He's hunting a man that he filled up with the Spirit of God, a man that can be used. Amen. I believe he's hunting a man that he can use and control, and amen, and tell him what to do, and he'll do it. Tell him how to do it, he'll go about doing it that way. Now, this seems to be a very foolish thing here that God told Ezekiel to do. I don't know about you, but I'd have a hard time standing on the banks looking at a valley full of dry bones and start preaching to them. Amen? Now, you say you'd question the Lord. I don't know if I'd question him or not, but I think he probably kind of got off course there just a little bit. Lord, do you not see that's a graveyard down there? Do you not see that hip bones laying over there and that shin bones laying over here? Amen? But he preached. He just stood there and preached. He done what God told him to. If God's going to do a miracle, God's got to have a man to do it with. Amen? And God chose men. Throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God uses men. And that's mankind. Amen? We use the term men, but I'm talking about women and men. God uses them. God used a woman to bring his son into this world. What a precious thing for a woman. Amen, to be used of God to bring his only begotten son into the world. But not only you gotta have servants that sold out, you gotta have sound preaching. Look in verse 4. Again he said unto him, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. He called them what they were. He didn't say, O ye moistened chalice cartridge. You know, we got preachers today won't call it like it is. Amen? Amen. I mean, they preach in the, I call it generic preaching. Amen. They won't just get out and tell it like it is. Ezekiel told them what they was. You're a bunch of dry bones. You know why people today is spiritually in the shape they're in? Because a man of God will not stand with the Spirit of God on him and call it like it is. Amen? As old saying goes, call a spade, amen? Just call it like it is. Black, black, white, white. Amen. Quit that gray air of preaching. But they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to be abrasive. They don't want to have the spirit of boldness, as Brother Justice was told. I come up in a time when a preacher stood up and preached, bless God, it bothered you if you wasn't doing right. It upset you, it bothered you, it stirred you, and the Spirit of God convicted you if you wasn't doing right. You need sound preaching. You need honest preaching. You need a preacher that'll get up and when he gets through talking, you hadn't got to take your notes home to see what he was trying to say to you. Amen? You got to have a preacher that quits preaching to the mind and starts preaching to the heart. What built these great churches in this country was a preacher that preached to the heart, amen, and not try to show you how smart he was. And how much he knew about the Bible. Hey, the Bible is a foundation for you to preach out of. Amen. We need some preachers that'll preach. Sound preaching is God speaking through you. Amen. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Sound preaching is what God thinks and not what you think. Sound preaching is Bible preaching. Preaching that is in time with the Bible doctrines. Amen. Sound preaching is not entertainment. It always helps administer to you rather than entertain you. Boy, I like him. Boy, I tell you, he is just so, you know, and what they've done, they've turned that preaching into entertainment. Preaching is to minister to you. It's never to entertain you. Never clap when a preacher is preaching. He's not entertaining you. Amen. Say hardly amen every once in a while. Man, I've seen and heard and been in churches where a preacher would make a point and he didn't hesitate to get that clap, that hand clap. You're not being entertained, bless God. This ain't the circus, this is church. When a preacher nails you, say, oh me. When a preacher blesses you, say, amen. Amen. We've kind of backed away from sound preaching. Sound preaching is not what's going on in Washington, D.C., but it's what's going on in heaven, amen. Sound preaching, amen, is what God thinks and not what Washington thinks. I don't care what Washington thinks. I don't care what they do. You hear me say very little about what goes on up there that has nothing to do with this pulpit, has nothing to do with my, amen, my conviction, amen. If we got a sorry leader, bless God, we deserve sorry leaders. That's what God gave us. Amen. You say the vote put him in. No, the vote didn't put him in. God put him in. Read your Bible. In Daniel. He puts them in, he takes them out. I tell you what, that thing going on over in the Far East, I bet you a lot of Christians are praying now. They hadn't ever been praying before because the target's on you. You're the enemy now. Amen? Sound preaching is not riding some hobby horse to death every time you get in the pulpit. Amen. There's about five subjects. If you'd done away with them subjects, there's a lot of preachers wouldn't have nothing to preach about. All you women quit wearing breeches and quit cutting your hair off. A lot of preachers would be out of the ministry. Amen. Seriously. That's all they know to preach. They start out on the second coming and end up on bossy wives. Catholic Church closed down. A lot of preachers would be out of business. Bless God, preach a book. Quit riding hobby horses. Quit getting up every time you get up. You end up at the same subject every time. Amen? That is not sound preaching. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's sound preaching. What did it say there? All the oracles of God. Amen. Let him minister. Let him do it with the ability God has given him. Amen. Let God be in the thing. Let God do it through him. And may it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're going to have some sound preaching if you're ever going to get a revival, get the dead raised again. Not only that, but look in verse 7. You're going to have to have some serious response. Look what it says down there. It says, so I prophesy as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Prophesy as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. There has to be a response to the preaching. You know, a lot of problems in a church is always blamed on the preacher. You can have the best preacher in the world. You can have the best teacher in the world. You can have the best Bible in the world. You can have the best singing in the world. But if God's people don't respond to it, it'll never amount to nothing. It'll never bear fruit. It'll never shake up nothing. Amen. But when Ezekiel stood there in verse 7 and prophesied, he was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I don't like quiet churches. Amen. Ought to be a little noise. God's not dead. We're not at a funeral here this morning. That's God. We serve a resurrected Christ. Amen. And a lot of them's died. I'm in a lot of Baptists that's died. They're dead. They're like the ambulance driver that got that call that someone had died in the church, and when they got to the Baptist church, they hauled them back two rows out before they found the real one. Amen. Grunt, do something. Amen. Get a little life in it. God's people was happy. Study that Old Testament, brother. When God showed up, them people, amen, they lifted up their voice. They gave praise to God. Amen. They shouted a little bit. I wouldn't want to be here this morning if you didn't have a little life in you. I can go over here at Hillview, amen, and just hang around over there for a couple hours on Sunday morning. We do everything here is done decent and in order. There's no disrespectful things done here. Amen. We love God. We give God some glory for it. Get up here and get singing some of them songs. Amen. I don't know about you. It blesses my heart. That second song Brother Daniel led this morning. Man, that's a pretty good song right there. Amen. If that don't crank your tractor, you need to go get your new battery. Amen. That's a good song right there. I'm always a little leery about somebody don't show any kind of emotion in church. When the God of glory lives within you and we get up here and singing and preaching about His Son and something down inside of you don't stare, you say, I'm not an emotional person. I bet you I could catch you if I followed you for at least a month. I could catch you somewhere and you have just a little bit of emotion. Might be at the Blue Light Special at Kmart. Might be on Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving, when you're going to be the first one to get that special. I bet you'll get a little bit of emotion there, amen? It could be when that little grandson, he's a team player. And he's up to bat, and his whether or not he hit that ball matters. I bet you get happy right there. You know what you get emotional over? Things you love. Amen? These women get emotional over shopping. I like what old Dave Ramsey said. It's an experience. For a man, it's a burden. For a woman, it's an experience to go shopping. God bless you. Go for it. I'd rather give the money to my wife. Let her go. Run, man. Run. I usually call her when she's out and say, you headed home anytime soon? She said, well, I'll be there and buy. I said, bring me something to eat. That's my part of shopping. Bring me something to eat. Amen. She's done her part and enjoyed it. I've done my part and I enjoyed it. I paid for it, got something to eat out of it. Amen. But you got to have some serious response. We can get up here and preach, and if you don't respond to it, amen, it doesn't matter. And I've got on to my young people here just recently. It seems like we got to have some youth activity for our young people to respond to preaching. Amen. They sit here like a knot on a log throughout the year. Then you come around and have a youth rally or have something like that, and every one of them gets spiritual and fall in love with God. And, amen. Hey, preaching is to help you, encourage you, and straighten you, and cleanse you. Amen. And pump you up when you're down. Amen. Hey, and when you come in here and you're down and out, and maybe something was said that lifts your hopes up. Amen. And you go out and you're happy and you're glad to be at church. But it shouldn't always be that way. Sometimes you come in here wicked, ungodly, been out living in sin. The Holy Ghost gets a hold of your heart, amen, convicts you of it. You ought to respond to it. Get some help from the Lord, amen. Get yourself cleaned up so you can run some more. Do some more for God. You got to have some serious response. He prophesied, and what happened? A noise began. Then look there, behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Boy, I bet that was a sight. Now this could be a metaphor, I think is what they call it, or this could actually happen. God can do that. You know what this is a type of? The resurrection. That's a type of the resurrection of us. You ever thought about those men and women that's been told, their bodies have been totally destroyed? Well, the trade towers, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, they found no part of them whatsoever. Do you know them people that were saved when the resurrection comes? You know that? But if you lost, you might be hit in the face with a kidney coming over to get back in the body it belonged to. I would not want to be in a graveyard if you're a lost person. You could get hit with a thigh bone, amen? A leg bone, a head bone, a neck bone. I'd like to have some of my parts back they took out of me and off of me through the year, amen? I don't know where they are, but they're coming back. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be, my resurrected body ain't going to have two rods and 16 screws in the back. Amen? I get raptured out of here, going to get y'all, any of you lost people here, gather it up and take it to the scrapyard, probably make a dollar or two off of it. Amen? It's the perfect type of the resurrection of the body of Christ, what it is. God always, what's that going to take place in the future, God has always given an example of it in the past. Always. And this is one of them right here. Ezekiel obeyed God. He was a good leader. Someone said, everything rises and falls on leadership. I'd like to add something else to that. Everything rises and falls on followership. A leader is not a leader unless he can get someone to follow. A preacher is no good if nobody responds to it. Amen? Hey, you get up and preach all you want to preach. If nobody responds to the preaching, you'll never accomplish nothing. You'll never bring honor and glory to God. Amen. It'll never amount to nothing if nobody responds to it. You have to respond to it. Matthew 13:54-58. Bible says, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. This is Jesus now. Insomuch that they were astonished. They was amazed at it. And said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They saw what he done. They was amazed, astonished at it. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus Christ. Amen. They said he couldn't do much. Why? They didn't respond. We got some folks in here, ain't never responded to nothing. Amen? Good people. Faithful people. Ain't nothing you can do to get them to respond. Their song of their life, their motto is, I shall not be moved. Just like a something. I can't even sing the song. I shall not be moved. I shall not. Huh? Like a tree planted, yeah. If they had a live song, that'd be their song right there. I shall not be moved. Amen. Alright, everyone's why I move. Amen. Let me know you're living. Then look in verse 7, the end of that verse, you got to have a sense of oneness. Look what it says there. It says, bone to his bone. Now, if you can just in your mind's eye there for a minute, if you could just see what's taking place here, I don't know how big this pile of bones was. I don't know how many, 1,000 or 100 or might have been 10. I don't know. But if you could just see there as Ezekiel was standing there and doing this preaching, if you could just see the hip bone connects to the thigh bone. The thigh bone that belongs to that backbone, they come together. That shoulder bone that hooked to that backbone, it comes from over here together. Say, what's going on? Everybody's getting in their place. You know what's wrong with a lot of churches this morning, including this and every once in a while? Everybody gets out of place. Boy, I'd be a sight if I stood up here this morning with two left arms. Amen? Or if all I was a head. I mean, seriously, think about that. Or if all I was feet. All you seen up here this morning, two big prayer cowboy boots. Amen. God made some feet for the body. He made some arms for the body. He made the mouth for the body of Christ. He made ears for the body. He made eyes for the body. Amen. And we got to find out where we belong and get in it, and you'll see the dead raised. Amen. You'll see some life come to yourself and the life come to your church when everybody gets where they belong. You got to have a sense of oneness. You got to have unity. I preached on that a couple of weeks ago or months or years or whenever it was. I won't spend a whole lot of time, but unity comes only when people respond to Bible preaching. Amen? You got to respond to it. Unity is a byproduct of Bible preaching. In order for a church to be alive is for everyone to be in unity. When it comes to the vision, the goals, and the future of the church, everyone's got to be of the same mindset. And I showed you there about 8 places where they was in unity, and they about 10 or 15 more places in there where they was all in one accord. You say, what I'm talking about? They all had the same mindset about what they wanted to do, what they wanted to see the church accomplish, amen. And it's the same way in your home. Your home is out of order if everybody's not in place in the home. There is an order for the home. There's an order for a company if you own one. There's an order for the government. Amen? And it hurt in a home. This little lady talking about losing her husband about 4 years ago. You say, what happened? Something got out of order. Amen? In our church, when we lose a loved one or people get leave or do whatever to do, man, it takes us a while to regroup and order, get it back in order. You got to have a sense of oneness. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. No, they can't. What are we going to do? We're going to fuss and fight. We're going to argue. Amen? But you'll notice there that bone to his bone. But not only that, look in verse 8. You got to have signs of growth. Look what he says there in verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. A live church should have continual spiritual growth. Us four and no more will not work. Amen? You got to have spiritual growth in your members that's there. You got to see a growth pattern in them. Amen? But you also need growth. Lord, we appreciate our visitors being with us this morning. But that, to me, I don't know about y'all, but I'm telling you, it thrills my heart to see a visitor come. It thrills me. Buddy, it pumps me up. Amen? I get tired of preaching you a bunch of deadheads, and I see new people come in here. Bless God, I got fresh meat. Amen? Amen. Some of y'all need to dress up, disguise yourself, so I think you're a lost visitor. Yeah. I remember Brother Nick and Brother Jay and Mr. Terry came. And I come out of a biker's life, and when they came in, they had their billfold. I ain't never told them this. But they come in, they had that billfold on that chain, and I'm thinking, what's this about? And so immediately my mind goes all the way back in them years trying to think, anybody have a boy named Jay? Anybody have a boy named Nick? And I'm a little leery around them there for a few days, you know, a few weeks, because I wasn't a real good person back in them days. And I thought, well, they've come to destroy my church. Amen? But I love seeing them come, man. And when I met them and just, you know, got around them, got talking about their likes and dislikes. Man, I liked them. Amen. Then I found out they saved. Well, I liked them a lot more. Amen. You have to pastor to understand this stuff. I remember when these two came. Amen. They're right down the road here. It thrills my soul to see visitors walk in here. Amen. It thrills my soul to see them stay here. It thrills my soul to see them grow in the Lord. It thrills me, amen, and they laugh in the church when they come and say, but I enjoy the church. I enjoy the singing. I enjoy the Bible teaching. We've had people stand here and say, I've learned more in 2 months than I learned 25 years in another church. What in the world does a preacher preach instead of church 25 years and if people don't know nothing? That's why we're a Bible-believing church. We preach the Bible, we teach the Bible, and we practice the Bible. But you got to have signs of growth. We're going with a biblical order. You got to have a vision. Amen. You got to have a vision that produces preaching. Preaching produces response. Response produces unity. Unity produces growth. And he said, when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Boy, that's sad, isn't it? A church without breath. Say, what's that type of Spirit of God? Amen. A church without the Holy Spirit. The church has to have spiritual strength. This strength comes from four ways. When we yoke up with God, when we have the joy of being right with God, when we acknowledge we are weak and He is our strength, when we allow God to fill us with His Spirit. Boy, it's a hard thing to be in a service or in a church that God has backed out on. That God has wrote Ichabod on the door. Amen? And our older folks, and we've had them come from time to time and say, man, I remember when our church was like this. Well, I remember when God done, and I remember this, and I remember that. And amen. I hope we never get to that point of saying, I remember when. Man, you gotta have some spiritual growth. And then the last thing in closing in verse 8 through 10. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, that's north, south, east, and west, and breatheth upon these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied, he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up on their feet. You got to have spiritual breath. You're going to raise the dead. Man can't raise the dead. Man's way, man's program, can't do nothing spiritual. Amen? You got to have God. You got to have God visit with you. You got to have God in your church. You got to have God in your services. You got to have God in your singing. You got to have God in your preaching, in your teaching. Amen? You got to have the Spirit of God to operate among you and within in the realms of your church if you're ever going to bring some life to the church. This is when revival takes place. The word revival means simply to bring back to life. You cannot read Ezekiel 37 without seeing the application of a spiritual awakening. These dry bones at one time was a living and active soul that has been brought back to life. In other words, what they used to be, God brought them back to that. If some of you sitting here this morning, you need to be brought back. What you used to be, you're not that no more. You dropped the ball. This is a perfect picture of revival in the hearts of the saints of God. That spiritual breath is called the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit moves in, it should bring divine comfort, divine instructions, divine directions, divine power, and divine assurance. If there's ever going to be a spiritual awakening, you're going to have to obey the Spirit of God. You've got to have God. And we're living in a day and age where there's many a church operating without God. Amen. Man has had his way to the point of programming that thing down to where God's nowhere around it. They're going through the motions. You can never legislate righteousness. Rules and regulations and do's and don'ts don't bring about righteousness. It brings about frustration. God with the nation of Israel had all the do's and the don'ts, and it did not bring about righteousness. He shut down on them for 400 years, and then he come up with grace. Where are we at today? We don't have that grace. Amen. He put give them the Ten Commandments. Good pattern to live by, but it won't get you to heaven. You got to come under grace and mercy and long suffering. Amen. Ain't it a blessing today to be under grace? But you know what we've done many times? We've made it a none effect. Bubba showed me a scripture he run across last week about our liberty has become a stumbling stone to those who are weak. 1 Corinthians 8:9, I think it was, or 9:8. But it has become to those weak. And sometimes we take so much liberty in this thing that if we're not careful, we hinder the work of God. We're not under bondage this morning. We're not under all the do's and don'ts in order to stay justified in the sight of God. We should serve Him, love Him, and sell out to Him simply because He loved us and died for us and saved our soul. If you're not careful, you grow cold. You get just like these bones here. You become dry, cold, scattered, indifferent, no life, no breath.
The next thing you know, amen, somebody be throwing dirt on them. We have come content as a church. Amen. And I want to encourage you this morning as your pastor. And this is not a message of rebuke. This is a message of encouragement. This is a message to help you. Say, where'd you get it? I got the message before you got it. Amen. I didn't get this off of Google. You can get a bunch of them off of it. Amen. This is a message here. This is not a sermon. There is a difference. Amen. But I don't know about you. I don't want this church to ever be a valley of dry bones. Man, I want you to encourage you to keep the life in it. Keep it alive. And the way you do that is by keeping yourself alive. Amen. Examine yourself. See whether or not you're being faithful or not. Go back and say, am I anywhere? You say, well, I'm backsliding. Well, a lot of people think backsliding is totally getting out of church, getting out in the world, going off. That's not true. Backsliding is moving back 2 inches from where you once was. The closest point you've ever been to God, if you move back 2 inches, you're backsliding. That's backsliding. A lot of people backslide on the pew. Never get out of the church. Amen? Never leave the church. Never leave the activities of the church. Never leave teaching. Amen? All the duties that you perform in the church, you never leave it, but you got in a backslidden condition because you finally let it slide back. If you hear this morning, I know preaching this kind of message and giving an invitation, a lot of folks ain't going to do nothing with it. But that's that serious response. We need to come to the realization that that was for me. I needed that. And I thank God for sending him. Just suppose this morning I'm Ezekiel. God said, why don't you preach that, that church full of dry bones? Amen. We need it. It's all not our church. Our church is strong and full of life and healthy. Well, Israel was too at one time. Churches all over this town was at one time. God's people built these big churches. These 2,000 and 3,000 seat churches. God's people built that with God's money. Somewhere they took a wrong turn down the road. And now they're dead. With just a little handful of people sitting in them trying to keep the doors open. You saw not glory land. Oh yeah, glory land. A couple of our preachers have been preaching a little church down the road here. Got about 15 people in there, some women, a few children trying to keep the doors open on it. Probably one time a thriving church. We have to pay attention. We have to be aware of where we're at. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning as your pastor. If you fit into that category of dried bones, won't you do something about it?